Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Atlanta, and her preaching is entitled Comfort, Comfort My People.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at an end, her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the desert prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made a plain, and the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. I answer, what shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all their glory like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower wilts when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. So then the people is the grass. Though the grass withers and the flower wilts, the word of our God stands forever. Go up onto a high mountain, Zion, herald of glad tidings. Cry out at the top of your voice, Jerusalem, herald of good news. Fear not to cry out and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Here comes with power the Lord God who rules by his strong arm. Here is his reward with him, his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom and leading the ewes with care. To be very honest about it, I am not particularly good at offering comfort. Being with people who are suffering is tough. Grief and grievance sear the soul, and like any burn, we nurse them. No one really wants to be touched where the hurt is still raw. Which means the person who comes near, even with the best of intentions, often feels the blast of uncontrolled anger, of rage, of a wail, the pitch of a scream. The one who wants to comfort must be willing to listen to the same anguished story shared over and over again, the same litany of regrets repeated. And however one responds, it'll likely be the wrong thing to say. And whatever one does, it'll never be enough. This is not something new in history. Since the time of Genesis, was anyone really able to offer comfort to Jacob when he thought his beloved son Joseph devoured by a wild animal? And all of Jacob's sons and daughters rose up to comfort him, Genesis reads. But he refused to be comforted. And for centuries thereafter, who could address his wife Rachel without acknowledging, Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted because they are no more. And what could one possibly say to someone like Job? Remember how his friends showed up wanting to offer their sympathies and support, but Job was having none of it. And so many of us, myself included, often avoid even trying to offer comfort, because it makes us feel so ineffective, so powerless, so uncomfortable. We avoid the very places where comfort is needed, the hospital, the nursing home, the prison, the protest outside the courthouse, the racial justice discussion group in the church basement, because really, what can we do? It's easier to give people space, perhaps send flowers or a donation instead. So after 39 chapters of Isaiah speaking words of warning and critique, We might imagine the prophet would be happy when, in a radical plot twist starting in chapter 40, he is suddenly told to now speak words of comfort. It sounds like it should be a much easier job, but honestly, maybe not. He was to try to comfort people who had seen their homeland decimated and had been forcibly resettled in another land, a people whose culture had been ravaged and who were coming to a slow, sinking realization that their own collective actions had led to this. And it's not like when Isaiah starts to speak these words, they aren't still stuck in this morass. For nearly half a century, nothing had changed in their situation. And now Isaiah is supposed to tell them that they should have hope, that they should believe things are about to change. Aren't those just shallow, Pollyannish words of one who doesn't really understand what they've been through, what their lives are still like in this reality? And moreover, some of the things Isaiah is told to cry out seem like they would be all the wrong words to say. All flesh is grass. All your glory is like a wilting flower. It sounds kind of like the reminder, life sucks and then you die. And the people are supposed to find this comforting? But the meaning of the word comfort, or nachum, in the original Hebrew, meant something a little different to our biblical ancestors than we might hear today. Sometimes in my own mind, I hear comfort, and I think it means that I need to fix the problem. I need to make it better. And when I can't control that, I think, well, why bother? Whereas nachum means something more like encourage or stir courage. Perhaps in myself as much as in the other. It doesn't deny the reality of the situation, but acknowledging that we are but flowers facing into the frosty wind, it stirs courage to keep leaning forward. One translation of Nachum said that it could be rendered, breathe deeply. Breathe deeply, breathe deeply, my people. And the source of that courage, that breath, that strength for Isaiah, for the exiled people of Israel, and still for us today is God. Yes, our lives are like grass. Yes, we are like flowers that wilt, but God's word still stands true. God's promises endure, and God is nearer than we think, traveling over what is currently very rough terrain to come closer to us yet. To forgive, to act on our behalf, to care for us like a shepherd cares for lambs. So this Advent, let us stir our own courage to be with those who are suffering, to go into the places we don't want to go, where we might be emotionally overwhelmed or scorned as naive, where we might meet anger or derision born of pain. And while we may feel powerless to change the situation, to nevertheless breathe deeply with God's people, witnessing to an enduring hope that our God is drawing near.